Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Forge 20's campaign, Drones. I am Hunter, accompanied by my best friend, Zach, and we are so excited to once again share with you this campaign and this adventure. In tonight's session, we will be continuing our Dwarven Excavation Quest. This is part two. Part one was recorded last week and hopefully posted shortly thereafter, and you've seen that. If you have not, go check that out and check out part one before you finish part two. So that way you're not missing anything important. But for those of you who are stubborn and didn't want to go back before listening to part two, I'll give you a brief recap. TLDR. In the last episode, Alistair and Daedalus decided to accept a quest from the local potion seller, Nibbin Botfizzle. The gnome had requested them to go to this local excavation site where he sent a close ally of himself in being known as Cornelius. They were supposed to go and find Cornelius and bring him back alive, hopefully, so that they can be rewarded and so that Cornelius and Nibbin can be reunited. On their way to the excavation site, Alistair and Daedalus had spotted something. They noticed a weird formation in the clouds, a rolling cloud line coming from the north, the mountains. They see this cloud line is progressing at an exponential rate, getting larger, darker, and moving closer to the town of Fendowen and Umbridge Hill specifically. After some quick thinking and deliberating, they thought it best to head back to the town. They made haste back to the town, got to Umbridge Hill, began scouting the skyline, trying to spot what could be the cause of such a abnormality with the skies, the weather. They suspected it to be the dragon, and their suspicions were true. Just above the cloud line, cresting the horizon of it, they saw the body of a large white dragon. Fear gripped the heroes' hearts, anxiety, and then a realization that if we can see the dragon here from Fendowen, the dragon most certainly sees us. The two heroes braced themselves for what could be the end, and they hoped that this was merely a patrol, the dragon pursuing its borders, checking them, making sure there's no threats to its new dominion. And fortunately for them, it was. However, the heroes, after making their realization that if we can see the dragon, it can see us, they are almost certain the dragon knows that Fendowen is now within its borders. The town is now at risk. Rather than heading back into the town and creating a panic or joining in on a panic, the two heroes decided to push on to the excavation quest and then come back to the town, hopefully with good news, and so they can help organize a defense of the town if need be. After that, they made it to the excavation, and it was there that they discovered this excavation has taken place on a ruined dwarven settlement. This settlement was full of monks, priests, apostles to a dwarven god, a long forgotten ancient being. From the signs that they can see through this ruined settlement and through the what's left of the temple's ancient walls, they see that this being must have been some form of god of greed. It required sacrificial offerings of gold and rare gemstones. Through some quick thinking, though, Daedalus and Alistair managed to make their way through most of the temple unhindered. But upon entering the larger sort of auditorium area, the central part of the temple, the two heroes were transfixed upon this altar that seemed to be radiating some long burning light. Daedalus was caught up in the moment, but Alistair saw above them on the ceilings ochre jellies, large yellow amorphous forms that are quite predatorous. If that's even a word, predatorial, excuse me. But these beings, at the sight of a living creature, made their way towards the heroes, and they made combat It was a vicious and close fight. Alistair was consumed by one of these ochre jellies and then managed to save himself by freezing the creature and then shattering it from within. It was an amazing way to save oneself and eliminate a terrifying foe. Likewise, Daedalus was almost consumed and nearly died. He was left rendered at 1 HP when an ochre jelly had split into smaller forms. With Alistair's help, he was able to dispatch of most of them, but one small form had made its way unnoticed behind him, and when Daedalus turned around, it had latched onto him. Like a face hugger from Alien, the ochre jelly wrapped around its face, or wrapped around his face. Daedalus was left with no choice but to unleash something that he has not done in quite some time. He broke a vow to himself, and he used his fire breath for the first time in many years. Melting the jelly from the inside, spewing it all over the walls of this temple, Daedalus then fell to his knees, realizing what has happened. But thanks to Alistair's words and Alistair's focus and his compassion, Daedalus was able to compose himself long enough for the two of them to try to make their way out. On their way out of the excavation, they were nearly assailed by an orc scouting party that has come to this area, possibly seeking treasure or maybe somewhere to set up camp. Daedalus and Alistair thought it best, rather than fight these foes, however, to run inside the temple's walls and find a place to hide, in hopes that the wargs had not caught their scent yet. We're going to be picking up there, where Alistair has just entered the temple's ancient walls. The doors have been left open from when they first arrived, and Alistair, you are currently running down these hallways, down towards the central auditorium room that we fought the ochre jellies in. Daedalus is probably about 15 feet behind you, and you are running as fast as you can. You have the petrified sort of statue of what you suspect to be Cornelius, potentially. You're holding it with you as you're running, kind of carrying it like a football, running down this hallway. What do you want to do?
Alistair, as he's running back into the temple as quietly as he possibly can, looks to the left and sees a room full of rubble and gestures over to Daedalus by kind of just jerking his head towards this direction, giving him a hint that he is going to go into this room and hide behind the rubble.
Daedalus follows suit. He sees your cue, and a mere moment after you enter the room full of rubble, Daedalus follows suit, and he posts himself by the entrance to this room off to the corner so that if anybody does manage to step in, he quickly make an attack upon them while still being fairly hidden. Alistair, you see that this room is clearly the remnants of some sort of dressing room where the priests would ready themselves. And you manage to see amongst the rubble and behind you in that corner of that little corridor there, you see the remnants of old dwarven priest robes. And as you recall, you remember the door that had something to do with the petrification of this being that you're, that the statue that you're holding now, had something to do with those robes. You see these robes are ancient and tattered and filled with, you know, I would say dust and cobwebs, but as far as functionality, they have none. But as far as the eye test, it looks like what you were looking for back at the door. You also see Daedalus has positioned himself next to the entranceway of this sort of ready room. You see that he's waiting for something to come down that small corridor. If something does find its way into this room and does find the two of you, Daedalus has his sickle ready and drawn to attack whatever steps through. He's readying himself.
Alistair is going to see these priest outfits, and he's going to gently put down the petrified rodent that he is carrying and proceed to throw and get dressed these priest robes or outfits, and he's going to very quietly get Daedalus's attention, kind of like wave, do a quick wave, and hold up a set of robes for him, and he's gonna gesture that he's gonna throw it towards him, and he does so.
All right, Daedalus looks up and recognizes what you're doing, so he nods at you, and he catches the robes. As he catches the robes, you see he just kind of sets it to the side for a moment on the ground. The two of you wait. A few moments go by, maybe about 10, 15 minutes. You think you're safe and things start to move around when you start to hear footsteps approaching. You see Daedalus's eyes widen, and then he starts to sort of narrow them. He starts to focus. You can tell he's readying for whatever may come through that door. You can hear the footsteps of at least one orc, now two. You can't hear what they're saying. You don't understand the language at all. But you look at Daedalus, and you get the sense that Daedalus knows what they're saying. You can see him kind of doing mental math and calculations as he looks over at you. And Daedalus puts a taloned finger up to his lips as if to be quiet, as the two sets of footsteps get closer and closer down the hall. You see Daedalus raises his sickle and he starts to step towards the corridor.
Alistair's just gonna sit there and remain calm, not move. He's a little nervous himself. Never had a confrontation with orcs, but he's clearly heard stories and he knows he wouldn't last long with a group of savages like that. So out of fear, he's just gonna sit there for a moment and take action if he needs to.
As Daedalus raises his sickle, you see he's ready for whatever may come by. The orcs step closer and closer to the door. You hear them reach the apex of the hallway where the doorway's opening is. And just as you think they're about to enter, they keep walking. They take you estimate about maybe four or five more steps further down the corridor when they find the central sort of courtyard or auditorium, that you and Daedalus were nearly killed in by the ochre jelly. You hear the two voices speaking. And then you hear two footsteps returning back towards the temple's entrance. As they're walking by, Alistair, you take note. Something distinct about these orcs. As they're walking by, you kind of peek your head over the rubble. You see these orcs bear a very particular marking. They have a sort of blue war paint that seems to be streaked in certain places ritualistically around their body. One of them has a blue streak sort of down his face, down from the, the upper right corner of his forehead down to the bottom right side of his jaw. The other one has a streak that runs along his neck from his carotid artery to the right side of his neck, from left to right. Carotid may be on the right, forgive me, I'm not a biologist or a doctor or anything like that. You see these orcs bear very similar markings to one another as they make their way towards the entrance and exit of the temple. Eventually the footsteps dissipate and the voices dissipate, and you believe them to be gone.
Alistair's slowly gonna sneak past the rubble, still leaving the petrified rodent there, and he's going to take a peek around the corner and see if they're actually gone. He's so scared and not wanting to fight these orcs, he just does a quick look, looks left to right really fast with his eyes, and then cuts right back to the corner, turns to Daedalus. I think they're gone, Daedalus.
As you turn the corner and you look at Daedalus, you see he's still holding the sickle in his hands. He looks at you as you say you think they're gone. And you see this sort of grimace go over his face as he puts the sickle away. He turns to you as you walk to his left. Have you ever encountered an orc before, Alistair?
No. I've never encountered one in person, but I've heard stories in my father's, preaching. He was a avid follower of Corallon, and, Grumsh, the god of orcs, is one of his greatest enemies.
Then you are well aware of the atrocities these beings can commit and what they can be.
Oh, absolutely. They're ruthless savages.
I harbor no ill will towards decent beings. But orcs, I haven't met one ever that I like or find to be a decent being. They're all useless dogs. At least in my experience.
Daedalus, I don't know if I can agree with that sentiment. I mean, I think categorizing and saying that all of a certain group of beings is inherently bad would be incorrect. There has to be an outlier or an exception somewhere. No?
You see Daedalus's face grimaces. He was going to walk out of the hallway after finishing what he said, but he stops and turns his head over his shoulder. And as you say that there has to be, like, perhaps a good one amongst them, is your message that he hears. He turns and he takes a very serious step forward towards you. You see his eyes sort of emanate a little bit more flame than usual. And he very sternly looks at you and says,
"The only orc that is good is a dead orc."
And then turns around and exits the priest holdings that you were within.
Daedalus, wait a moment. He goes and turns to grab the petrified rodent, carrying him in his arms like a football. Look, I didn't mean to offend you, Daedalus. He sighs for a moment, kind of like looking away a little nervously. Clearly, he isn't trying to have a confrontation with someone who he thinks that he lost their first fight against. Someone strong enough to suplex him out of a window. There's a little bit of fear, but a respect there, right? And he begins to speak once more. And he says to Daedalus, "I just think that there are some people capable of good and capable of bad. I didn't mean to offend you, but I hope I don't offend you by asking this either, but does the flames that you breathe have anything to do with your hatred of orcs, your oath to not breathe flames? You told me briefly about it at the inn the other night."
As you speak these words, at first Daedalus keeps walking. He doesn't listen. You can see he's kind of ignoring what you're saying. He's trying to continue further into the temple. So he makes his way to the center of the auditorium. He turns left back towards the door that you found Cornelius within. And you bring up that, "Do the orcs have anything to do with the flames that you refused to breathe for so long?" And Daedalus stops once again. He turns to you, this time much calmer looking. You can see almost a regret, a remorse on his face as he turns.
"You are too observant for your own good, Darkheart. Perhaps in time, I will share this with you. But now, where we are is not the time nor the place. But your assumptions would be correct. That is all I can say for now. I took an oath long ago because of something that happened. The orcs are responsible, and I hold them all responsible. But that is enough for now. I do not have the time. Let us continue, please."
As he walks further in the temple, turning himself away, you see deep pain as he says, "Let us continue, please." As he walks back towards the trapped room that the fuzzy creature was petrified within.
Alistair in this moment is going to be looking down kind of solemnly, understanding he may have opened a door of trauma Daedalus clearly isn't ready to open yet, and Alistair understands that entirely too well and just quietly walks following Daedalus to this chamber.
Alright, as you enter the chamber, you see once again the visage of the orc god at the door at the end, and you see his angry, greedy eyes transfixed upon you, the eyes that are clearly some form of gems in this impression, you can see they're sort of inspecting you, whether you are appropriately attired to enter this domain. Are you and Daedalus both wearing the robes?
Yes, when I described Alistair, he took the time to put the robes on. I don't know if Daedalus did. I didn't see him do
yes,
it.
Yes, Daedalus, before entering, and he sees that you've done so, he'll go ahead and wear them as well before he enters. So he goes ahead and puts on the robes. They don't really fit him. They're just kind of haphazardly on him in some ways. You can see he's only got like one sleeve of the shirt in. The rest of it's just kind of haphazardly hanging off of his torso. But he's got the headpiece and he's got the sort of loincloth that they had. As the two of you enter, you step in front of the door. The eyes of the dwarven god begin to glow. And the door slowly seems, there seems to be like some sort of edge down the middle, seeps open. You see it recline back, and the doors open before you. One gem to either side of the door.
Alistair is going to slowly walk through and just like closing his eyes really tight, kind of clenching at the furry rodent that he's holding in his arms. In fear, he's probably going to be petrified, but he's willing to take the risk anyway. Does he get petrified?
As he steps across the sort of apex of this door, the event horizon almost, if you will, Alistair sort of cringes for a second. And nothing happens. You're fine. Daedalus chuckles, seeing this for a moment. You see his demeanor is a little bit more positive after seeing such a comedic moment in front of him. Daedalus follows suit. He steps through the threshold, looks to his left, looks at his right at the gems. Shrugs his shoulders. And keeps going. As you guys step through further into the temple, you now enter a sort of, I don't want to say waiting room. It seems to be some sort of, I would say, preparation room, where the priest ready, or did at one point, ready offers that would be brought to the altar and tributes that would need to be given. You can see in this room a few ancient skeletons of dwarven priests and monks that never left this place. They must have been sealed within long ago, and this is where they decided to await their end. Daedalus looks at the bodies, and you see him kind of curiously inspecting them.
I wonder if their god heard their prayers in the end.
Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe his fault that they were buried here. Maybe their tributes were not good enough, you think?
He turns and looks at you.
I don't know. It kind of looks like this tunnel may have just collapsed. It could have been a hand of a god could have played a role in this, but it could have just also been natural. I couldn't tell, to be quite honest with you.
Daedalus nods.
Well, we're not archaeologists or historians, so let us continue.
He walks to the next door. You see this door at one point may have been trapped, may have been magically imbued, but as you approach, Daedalus kind of puts some weight to it, and you can see that the door begins to buckle in the center. And Daedalus looks to you.
This one we can open.
Alistair nods.
Daedalus steps through. You enter another hallway. It's dark, but it leads you to eventually what seems to be the final doorway before what seems to be some sort of worship area. Somewhere very private, though. This seems to be some sort of inner sanctum. You see, the door here has long since been sealed by rubble. The Daedalus begins to move some of the rocks here and there, and you can see that perhaps with help, the two of you can move enough of these boulders to maybe open the door within. Daedalus looks to you.
A little help here, Darkheart.
Yeah, of course. Alistair, for a moment, puts down the rodent and starts picking up rocks. Now, for his very thin figure, he doesn't have a lot of muscles, but he's seeking to train to be a better fighter, and this is a good opportunity for him to train. And you can see that as he's picking stuff up, his form picking stuff up is terrible. He's arching his back. He clearly looks like if he keeps lifting like this, he's going to cause himself great pain. But he's slowly moving these rocks.
With your help, Daedalus and you managed to move these boulders one by one. You can tell Daedalus moves them with relative ease, but you're having to put a little bit more effort into it. You almost kind of throw your back out when Daedalus steps over to you and he kind of demonstrates. He shows you, lift with your legs, Darkon. Lift with your legs.
Alistair squats, now getting in a prime deadlift position, picking up a pretty relatively sized boulder. It looks like he would struggle, but now he uses his legs and he's squatting this up and has this relatively decently sized rock in his chest, just holding it. There's a little shake to his foundation, but he may have just unlocked some new mobility with his body and is now learning to get stronger in a way. After moving all these rocks, he's going to be exhausted and feel it in his muscles with all the lactic acid and the like, but...
All right. So, as you guys move the last few boulders and open up the inner sanctum's doorway, you see the most large and seemingly realistic of the impression of the dwarven god yet. You see ancient dwarven scripts that line the edges of this ancient stone doorway. You see a large impression of the ancient god, a very Mesopotamian large headdress that reaches to the skies, horns coming off the sides of this being's head, a large tongue that sticks out, very vicious sharp teeth, and these greedy eyes that transfix down upon you. As you look at it, Daedalus looks at it as well, and he comments to you, kind of leaning over,
I think their god sealed them here.
Well, I guess that could be a possibility. I guess they weren't giving, enough offerings. What happens if we don't give enough offerings, Daedalus? Are we going to be trapped here?
Daedalus looks at the impression and then back to you.
I'm not giving that thing any fucking offerings. I'm taking whatever I find on the other side of that door.
And he raises his finger and points.
Well, fair enough. We're probably going to die because of a very, greedy god. Well, this is going to be fun.
Ironic.
Daedalus walks to the door, still dressed in the priest robes, and as he reaches up towards the gem-like eyes, he taps it with a taloned finger, and the door begins to lift from the ground up, open into the ceiling above, sliding into some sort of slot. As the door opens, the two of you step in, you see a very, very large altar, much larger than the one in the central auditorium. This one takes up the entire back wall of this inner sanctum, the sanctum about 30 feet wide, about 30 feet long. You can tell this room has been largely untouched by the earthquake or whatever caused the collapse of the settlement and this temple. As you look around, you can see on the walls great scriptures and sort of reliefs etched in of this god's commandments and pious sort of acts, or acts that it views as pious, beings of strength and power ruling over beings of weakness. You see wealthy beings accumulating more wealth, being given wealth by the meek, and then offering it to the god. You see as these paintings, well, not paintings, these etchings eventually converge and tell a story. It reaches to the center of the temple, or this inner sanctum, rather, to where the god's eyes are once again transfixed on the back wall, looking down to a large offering bowl. This bowl is more like a cauldron, and Alistair, you see the largest amount of gold and gems and precious metals that you've seen outside of the Darkheart family treasury at its peak. You see Daedalus's eyes get wide. His jaw almost drops. He looks at you. You look at him. You both do a double take back to the cauldron.
Are you seeing this, Alistair?
I don't know if the halfling's leap has delayed effects, but I think we're seeing the same thing.
Well, what the hell are we going to do?
Well, there's no one else in here. Do you really think a god did it? Because I would feel totally comfortable with taking that money. We could invest it into buying supplies for our journey to Waterdeep.
Perhaps we could. It would be wise to at least fill our own coffers before we leave. Best not to leave empty-handed, though.
You're right. And Alistair's going to walk towards the treasure, and he's going to start pocketing it.
As you start pocketing the treasure, emptying handful after handful of gold, gems, and metals into your own coin purse and bag, Daedalus begins to approach when you see he stops. And then he says your name. Alistair. Stop.
He stops.
Do you hear that?
He's going to listen closely to see what Daedalus is calling out.
You do not hear it. You hear nothing. You think Daedalus is being overly cautious, if anything.
Does the halfling's leaf cause auditory hallucinations or something, Daedalus? I don't hear a damn thing, as he's pocketing more and more stuff.
Daedalus stands there for a moment. He steps forward again towards you. Alistair, I'm serious. And as he says this, you feel the ground beneath you begin to shake. You feel it begin to sort of bubble. And then it raises up and boom, a cacophonous thunder hits up from beneath you. Alistair, as the cobblestone beneath your feet is cracked and destroyed, it launches up in the ceiling. You don't move in time as you are launched 10 feet into the air and then crashing down back to the earth.
As he goes to the complete north side of the room, doom, you just see him ragdoll. As he goes under and lands perfectly on his face.
You're launched up into the air. You go tumbling, crashing back down, landing on your right side. Your shoulder aches as it thuds. Nothing's broken, but you are definitely going to have a nasty bruise tomorrow. As you slowly regain your surroundings, you see Daedalus is seemingly readying himself for combat as he steps between you and whatever caused this sort of raising in the ground. As you raise your eyes, you see before you a basilisk. To describe, you see this large, stone-scaled-like being. It's very similar to Daedalus. It's lizard-like, but this being, instead of standing on two legs and having two arms like a humanoid, has four legs that keep it on the ground, has a long tail, and has, like I said before, very, very stone-like skin. You can see every so often precious gems and stones that protrude from its back and its spines. Its eyes are very, very solid. They do not move. They do not have an iris. They are a solid green gem color, like a green gem of some form of like a, I would say, magical property. You can clearly see it emanating a magical aura from it. Daedalus steps between you and the creature.
All right. Well, Alistair seeing the basilisk, he's going to be shitting his pants. You can see, like, physically, this dude is, like, eyes wide. Like, oh, fuck, I'm about to get petrified. He quickly gets up, starts heading, using half of his movement to get up, obviously, and then using the remaining amount of his movement to get to the door. And as he's running, he's going to Eldritch Blast at the basilisk while carrying what we assume to be his Cornelius. So Alistair raises his hand, and then he speaks just a simple word, fuck, and you just see forming as a mist around him this black kind of icicle, boom, shoots out and pierces the basilisk's skin.
As the Eldritch Blast careens out of you and slams into the stone scales of the basilisk, you can see portions of the basilisk scales are immediately just chipped away and shot off. Not a large portion, but about a 4 or 5 inch area of impact. You see the basilisk reels from the impact and then hisses at you. You see the eyes of the basilisk move from the ground. And after you attack it to you, its green eyes glow. And you see this sort of almost light emanating from them. Your eyes are transfixed upon them for a moment, and then you look away just in time before the lights emanate a bright pulse
You feel this energy careen over you, but it has no effect. The basilisk is going to then sort of poise itself up and position itself a few feet to the left of Daedalus. You see Daedalus takes his sickle in one hand and he swipes it from right to left, slashing at the basilisk face. As he's slashing across, you can see the sickle misses the eyes of the basilisk, but slashes just above the sort of lips, hitting the upper jaw of the creature, as you see this large line sort of be carved out of the scales of that skin there of the basilisk. Its head reels back.
Alistair, seeing that Daedalus is just straight up fighting it, knows that he shouldn't probably leave him behind, and he's going to kind of gently place what we assume to be Cornelius down, and he's going to turn and get an angle in on the basilisk and shoot yet another Eldritch Blast as you see a black misty icicle forming in between his hands. You see Alistair, instead of using one arm, since he has one free, you see him use both hands as he puts them, his thumb and his index finger in like a triangle shape, and you see an even bigger icicle coming in and just coming and hailing towards the basilisk.
As this Eldritch Blast hails into the creature, you see its scales are being sundered piece by piece from it. The basilisk takes its eyes once again from Daedalus to you, Alistair. You feel this sort of energy emanate over you again. Your eyes, you try to pull away from the gaze of the basilisk, but you can't. As you are petrified, you feel your body slowly stiffen in place. Your eyes can still move. You can still look around, but you are stuck in place. At least for now.
Alistair's eyes, if he could, he would widen them, because he just had the realization that he's still conscious and can move his eyes. So why wouldn't the rodent be able to?
Perhaps it's something that you didn't notice that the rodent has been doing.
He's just going to sit on that knowledge.
So, as this happens, you see Daedalus shouts out, "Alistair!" You see this anger come over him as Daedalus then attempts to grapple the basilisk. After seeing Alistair be frozen or petrified in place, Daedalus is filled with anger and he knows he needs to get into action quickly. He needs to dispatch of this foe or do something before they are frozen in time here forever. Daedalus moves in, grapples with the creature, sort of wrapping his arms around the maw of the basilisk's face. He gets it in this sort of bulldog choke and immediately starts to rear its head back and starts to try to reach his hands into the creature's jaws and its head, as the basilisk is going to try and petrify and gaze at Daedalus now. Oh! Daedalus succeeds the dex check. You see Daedalus reaches his taloned claws, prying into the creature's stone lips. You see his claws dig into the gums of this creature's mouth. You see his left hand reach onto the lower jaw, the right hand reach into the upper. You see Daedalus' arms begin to shake and tremble as he's putting his whole weight into it. You hear him call out, as he starts to pull and pry the basilisk jaws apart, you hear a pop, snap, as the lower jaw of the basilisk is completely just torn asunder and broken, sitting slack. The basilisk threshes and rolls in pain. You see Daedalus lets go of the creature and pulls his sickle back out as the basilisk rolls from left to right, reeling out in pain. You see it looks for its burrow and begins to try and make its way back to the hole from whence it came. As it makes its way down there, you see Daedalus takes a step to try to attack it, but he holds his sickle in his hand and he stops himself and instead turns, running towards you. Immediately, you see the look on Daedalus' face of utter panic. He sees what's become of you, that you are completely frozen in stone. Daedalus runs up to you. Alistair! Back to the stair! You see him, like, touching your face, your arm. She's trying to, like, see if you're there.
Alistair tries to speak, but he can't because he's petrified.
You see visible panic on Daedalus. No! And you see him... He looks at the statue of Cornelius, the statue of you. Not like this. It doesn't end here, not like this. He reaches down, he grabs the statue of Cornelius and puts him in his arms. Come on, Darkheart, I'm not leaving you here. Daedalus, it takes him a while, it takes him about half an hour, but with some breaks, he manages to drag you and Cornelius out of the temple to the settlement's walls. As you exit the temple, and Daedalus falls to his knees and then to his back, you and the smaller statue kind of go thundering, crashing to the ground. You're very solid, nothing chips away. You see Daedalus is exhausted. He looks up to the sky. He's very low on HP, just like you. He's bloodied almost. He's looking around. And then you feel the ground beneath the two of you begin to shake and throttle again. Daedalus' eyes get wide open. He rolls to his left, trying to get to his feet, but he stumbles, falling back onto his butt. He looks at the temple walls, and you can see them as well from the position that you've fallen. You see as the earth begins to shake and tremble, the stone and boulders and rocks of the cliff wall above the temple become completely just loosened from their sort of sedentary state, and they come crashing, thundering down onto the temple's walls, sealing it completely behind the two of you. Daedalus sits there for a moment, and you hear him mutter out, "By the gods, what the hell? What the hell am I going to do, Alistair?" And he moves back over towards you. You see he's completely perplexed. He's just standing over you. You can see this panic on his face. He looks at Cornelius's, well, the suspect that is Cornelius's statue. He looks at you. "I have to get you both back to Vendalin. I have to get you both back to Nibbin. Perhaps he will help us. Alistair, I hope you're in there. I hope you're still alive." And for now, that is where we will end the Dwarven excavation part of our quest. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank you, Zach, for joining me in on this session. We were successful in making our way through the temple, but clearly not without our own new obstacles, and clearly we have a mystery to solve on whether you are actually alive. Now, you know that you're alive, but Daedalus has no idea.
That is very true.
Any thoughts or anything like that before we end the session, or anything you'd like to share?
Yeah. Alistair knows he can move his eyes, but... No, I'm just playing. He's just fucking terrified. But, no. We'll save it for next time.
Very good. All right. And with that, thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for listening. Once again, we'll be uploading this video and then following it up with another video after that. In the following week, we will continue our quest. We will be getting our titular heroes, Alistair and Daedalus, back to the town of Vendalin, hopefully to unpetrify Alistair and to unpetrify the fuzzy little statue with them, and hopefully complete this quest so that they can get on with the next part of our campaign. Very soon, we will have our third and fourth players joining us, so I hope you all are as excited as I am, and I hope you stay tuned for what is to come, because the two characters that are very shortly going to be joining us in the next few sessions are characters that are very close to my heart and played by some very special people who are very, very good at this game. They are some of the most fun individuals to share this experience with. So I'm very excited to share that with you all. And with that, I want to say thank you from everybody here at Forge 20 for your continued support and listening. It means the world to us. Thank you all so much. Have a great night. Bye-bye.